Today's episode of Dog Nation Daily is brought to you by Merriweather & Tharp, your source for Georgia divorce. Find them online at georgiadivorceteam.com.
Presented by DogNation.com, this is Dog Nation Daily, the daily podcast for Georgia Bulldogs fans. Here's your host, Brandon Adams.
I have a major challenge kind of standing in my way here right now. Our good friend Terrence Edwards, who joins us each and every Thursday on the program, reached out to me this morning and said, hey, BA, can we maybe do our interview today a little earlier? I've got some business I got to take care of. We try to accommodate people the best we possibly can. So I said, of course we'll do that. And yet in my mind, as I'm saying that, and of course I do want to accommodate here, I'm also thinking, BA, that means you got to shut up and get on with the show here and not go on too long. So let me jump right into what we have for you here today. It is perhaps the least surprising news of all that Georgia is being mentioned right now among the most talented teams in the country, perhaps the most talented team on the field for 2024 and for the year from now, 2025 NFL draft. We've already touched on that some over the course of the last few days. And are you familiar with the phrase, the idea of a scheduled tweet? You know, when someone sort of tweets or posts something on X that's obvious, you know, the response sometimes is, ha-ha, that's a scheduled tweet because you knew you'd be saying something along those lines. There's a version of that for us here, too. Fast forward 3 years from now. If we're doing a show in early May of whatever 3 years now is, 2027, whatever that is, my guess is we'll also be talking about Georgia being viewed as among the most talented teams in the entire country and one of the most, you know, talent-rich teams for the next NFL draft, for, you know, for that particular year. This is just one of those topics we don't expect to go out of style anytime soon as it relates to Georgia. But just because you've heard this before and just because you expect to hear this now and expect to hear this for many years to come, don't lose sight of the fact that there is still, I think, something interesting about the specific talent level in place at Georgia for the upcoming year. And as a way of explaining this, I want to kind of point out a piece that was at CBSSports.com. Chip Patterson was the writer looking at the teams that could dominate the 2025 NFL draft. And obviously, as we pointed out before, there's a huge correlation between dominating the draft and also, you know, perhaps dominating on the field and winning a national championship. That's just sort of the way that things go. And you're not surprised to see Georgia mentioned in that category. But it's what Chip writes at CBSSports.com about Georgia that I think you'll find to be interesting. Let me read this to you here a little bit. Chip Patterson looking at the teams loaded with talent for the 2025 NFL draft. Chip says, I know it's going to come as a shock to see Georgia carrying a lot of NFL draft picks on the roster, but we're once again looking at the Bulldogs team that could flirt with double-digit picks in 2025. You're not surprised by that. But what Chip mentions is it's the balance of this group that's great. He says with at least one notable NFL draft prospect from every position group. And that's the thing that matters to me from Chip Patterson there at CBSSports.com. He says, of course, that's all we need from that. He says, of course, Georgia could have double-digit draft picks. It seems like they almost have double-digit picks each and every year. Could they maybe even rival the draft haul they had in 2022 draft? Perhaps they could. But it's the overall balance of the fact that it's offensive lineman, it's wide receiver, it's quarterback, it's running back, it's every spot on defense. It's the fact that every position group gets prominently mentioned here that I think gives Georgia not just a leg up on the teams that it could be competing with this season. If we're being honest, it also gives Georgia a leg up on what it was a year ago. Because as we pointed out within the last month, we've talked about this frequently, that if you look at what Georgia was projected to have in the NFL draft and what turned out to be true, there was an absence of players in the front seven. There weren't the defensive linemen this year. There weren't the edge rushers this year. Georgia linebackers, in many cases, chose to return, so therefore the inside linebackers weren't represented either. When you think about the one loss that Georgia suffered to Alabama, would a little extra, firepower in that front seven, would it have made things a little more likely for Georgia to win that game against Alabama? I think we would say that it would. So if you want to believe and zero in on why this Georgia team this upcoming season could be better than a year ago, it's what Chip Patterson says there at CBSSports.com that I think hammers that home. You know, the idea that it's a balanced class with talent in every position group, unique perhaps in the comparison of any other team in college football. And it's not just CBS's Chip Patterson who's saying stuff like that. How about Jordan Reed from ESPN on TV this week talking about the multitude of guys who could perhaps compete to be the number one overall pick in the upcoming NFL draft? He mentions the edge rusher from Tennessee, but then goes on to say, in addition to that, you got to start looking at guys like Mikael Williams and Carson Beck. So if Chip Patterson says, hey, it's the versatility and the, I guess, the balance of talent at Georgia that matters, the fact that Georgia's got, you know, Mikael Williams and Carson Beck, along with Ernest Green as well, vying to potentially be the number one overall draft pick, once again, that speaks to the unique balance that Georgia has from a talent perspective for the upcoming year. This is what Jordan Reed said about that on ESPN TV this week.
Now, staying in the SEC, I'm going to go with Georgia outside linebacker Mikael Williams, who the sack production has been minimal as he only had 4.5 sacks over his first two seasons, but the size is outstanding at 6'6", 265 pounds. He is very reminiscent of a player that we saw go number one overall in a draft a couple years ago in Trayvon Walker. An already ready-made run defender, he needs to get more consistent as a pass rusher. But he is only 19 years old. He will turn 20 years old going into the year. So keep an eye on Mikael Williams of Georgia. Now, we always have to talk about one quarterback that could surge up boards, and that guy for me this year, going into the year, would be Georgia's Carson Beck. At 6'4", 220 pounds, he nearly passed for 4,000 yards last season, while also passing for 24 touchdowns and only 6 interceptions. Beck is another name to keep an eye on as we look at potential candidates to be the number one overall pick in 2025.
Total confession here, this topic today for me is a little bit of a setup for something I want to do in greater detail tomorrow, because I do think the comparison between Georgia and the other team getting a lot of offseason attention so far this year, Ohio State, is pretty compelling. And obviously there's a lot of buzz around Ohio State right now. But if you're a Georgia fan, you want to believe your team is better, and you have every right to do so. I think we probably think that ourselves. If you want to believe your team is better, it is the balance here for Georgia that Chip Patterson writes about that could make that so. The fact that Mikael Williams is getting the kind of talk that Jordan Reed gave him. The fact that Carson Beck's been getting this for a while. That's a nice feather in Georgia's cap. Ernest Green's another we mentioned earlier this week. That if you want to start thinking legitimately and fairly, why is Georgia perhaps the number one team in the country for this upcoming season? It's because of the fact that there is no position group right now that doesn't have that sort of top-end talent, you know, potentially in the mix here. That could be the thing that separates Georgia. So even though you expect to hear how talented Georgia is, it's the specific way that talent is being described that could matter the most for this upcoming season.
My name's Brandon Adams, and this is Dog Nation Daily, the daily podcast for Georgia Bulldogs fans, presented today by Meriwether & Tharp. We're happy to have you here, no matter how you get to us, video, podcast, radio, all kinds of ways for you to connect with the program, and we're glad that you find one that works for you. Also, did you enjoy the new opening here today for our friends at Meriwether & Tharp? I think perfectly reflecting what Meriwether & Tharp now is, your source for Georgia divorce, the website GeorgiaDivorceTeam.com. Offices across the state in Savannah and in Athens and Carrollton. You got offices opening all over the place here right now across our state, serving people the same way they've been serving people in the Atlanta area for a long time. Divorce is obviously potentially scary and confusing. It's also, you know, one of the most emotionally weighty things you're ever going to deal with. So that's one of the reasons why I am so sincere about recommending Meriwether & Tharp for you, because if you find yourself facing these challenging circumstances, you want someone who's been through this thousands of times before. And every time that Meriwether & Tharp expands throughout the state, providing their same level of service to people all across our great state, that gives them more and more institutional information and knowledge about the divorce process that can be leveraged for your benefit. This is perhaps the only time you'll ever go through this, but Meriwether & Tharp has gone through these situations so many times before. They find commonalities, and they find, you know, ways to explain the law to you and give you what you need here. That is what Meriwether & Tharp is all about. So I want you to find them online, GeorgiaDivorceTeam.com. It's GeorgiaDivorceTeam.com. And when you go there, not only can you see the history of service they have, but you can also see the very clever pricing options that they've created for you to kind of feel like you've got a real stake in determining how you want this to play out for you. There are certain aspects of the divorce process that can't be under your control, but the things that can be controlled, Meriwether & Tharp wants to give you some options to be able to do that. So please find them online. It is GeorgiaDivorceTeam.com.
Com. All right, we're going to kind of rearrange things here a little bit. We've got an Around the Doghouse we're going to do later on in the show, looking at something that Jeff said last night on his show before the hedges presented by Kroger, which I think you'll like, which kind of gets into what's still to come for Georgia this summer in terms of players on their way to the program. We've talked about this before, but it's worth revisiting again. Jeff had some good stuff for you on that last night. But for now, on what's next for Georgia post-NFL draft and all the fun buzz that's out there, a guy who knows all this so well is the great former Georgia wide receiver Terrence Edwards. A little earlier than normal, we bring him on here today, Dog Nation Daily, presented by Merriweather and Tharp.
From Athens and across the SEC or wherever the recruiting trail may lead, here's a DogNation.com insider.
Let's say hello to Terrence Edwards here, brand new head coach in the state of Georgia. This is a busy time of year for those head coaches as spring practice are getting underway. Terrence, how does it feel to be at the helm here? And are you guys getting ready to get cranked up here? And I trust everything is going well for you all there at Mount Vernon during this portion of the college football calendar, or I should say the high school football calendar.
Right. Yes. Everything is going smooth, you know, just trying to get spring practice organized. We start in a little later than most schools. My spring practice starts May 13th. Just trying to get all the lacrosse, all the baseball, all the track athletes back.
Yeah.
So we can have kind of a full squad. So it's going, you know, head coaches look different than positional coaches, but I'm enjoying it so far and can't wait to get started.
Well, it's also one of those things too, where, you know, you've been at like a place like Milton where big 7A school, thousands of students. There's not as much sharing of athletes that probably goes on in a school like that, but most of our audience probably goes to a high school a little bit more like the one you coach at now at Mount Vernon, where there is going to be sharing of athletes. Good football players, they run track. Good football players, they play baseball. And that's one of those things that for most of the state of Georgia, I know your brother down there in Waco deals with some of that too, where it's like, hey, you know, my good football players are also going to play multiple sports there as well. And that's just kind of what the state of Georgia sometimes is, isn't it?
Yes, yes. But I encourage that, though. I encourage athletes to be two-sport athletes. And I'm so happy that C.J. Wiley over at Milton had the opportunity to run track this year. Like, and you can see how it has helped him tremendously. So I encourage all athletes to go out and play multiple sports because it helps. I mean, right now we all know football is 24-hour, 365. So you have to go out and just get your mind off football just a little bit and to do other sports. So CJ has definitely done that. And if you watch any of the videos from yesterday, you could tell that young man is big, fast, and powerful.
I was talking about Georgia before you joined us. No doubt about that. We totally agree with you on CJ Wiley about that. A lot of Georgia fans really like him a lot. But we were talking before you joined us about the fact that right now it seems like Georgia's got as much roster balance as almost any team could have from the standpoint that Mikael Williams, a defensive edge rusher, Ernest Green, an offensive tackle, Carson Beck, a quarterback, Malachi Starks, a safety. You know, all these guys getting this prominent draft buzz, all these various position groups kind of represented. How much do you think that helps Georgia, the fact that, you know, not only is it arguably the most talented team in America, but as the one dude from CBS Sports said, it's talent that seems to show up at every position group. How much do you think that helps Georgia for this upcoming season?
I think so. I think you have talent without, you know, each positional group. You have first-round talent, just not talent. So I think it's best when you have guys that could push each other, because without a front line, Malachi Starks could be the best he could be, but without having that pass rush, his time is limited back there. So it works both ways. Everything works in conjunction with each other. And Georgia have talent on each level of the field, the first, second, and third level. And it just, I'm excited to see, especially what Mikael now could do, being a predominant edge rusher instead of playing more to five. He's outside, playing outside Jack linebacker. Just see what he could do pass rushing from the outside.
I thought he was the best player for Georgia on G-Day. Would you agree with that? And if so, to me, that only kind of further ignites this discussion that's being had about him right now. This is a guy in his third and, you know, likely final year at UGA who seems like, with a little bit of a position switch here, the light may really be coming on for him right now.
Yeah, I think so. I got to be a homer right now and go with my positional group and say Dominique Lovett was the best
player. Fair enough.
So I'm gonna put it out there. I'm going because that's my position. But Malachi, you know, he did well. He had a tip pass. And if you ever been around that young man, he is a big young man. So having that size on the edge to be able to set the edge and also pass rush is gonna benefit himself and Georgia. So I'm excited to see what he can do on the edge.
What did you think of the NFL draft from a Georgia standpoint? Any key takeaways from you about kind of how the draft played out?
I think so. I just think about having two young men in Javon Bullard and Ladd McConkey come in as unheralded three stars, two stars, or no stars, and end up being drafted in the second round. So that just goes to show you, if you put the work and the time in, and you got to go and give Georgia their props. Their evaluations of these two young men was off the chart. They saw something in them and gave them a chance. And I think both parties did what they were supposed to do. Those players proved to people that they could play, and Georgia eval of those guys showed up in a big way.
You know, it seems like in the case of Ladd McConkey, he was earning some buzz that would have perhaps, you know, had a chance to put him in the first round. But as you know, there were so many other receivers who were also earning buzz too. I mean, I don't know the exact number here, but of like where McConkey gets picked at like 35, I mean, a gigantic percentage of the first 35 picks in this draft were wide receivers. Why do you think it is that position is just sort of blossoming in terms of the NFL draft right now? Is it just the fact that, you know, teams see how explosive, you know, good receiver play can be? Is it unique to the talent level that exists at that position here right now? How come so many wide receivers got drafted so high?
I think it's the style of play. I think everyone wants to be able to throw the football more than we have before. So you got to have those talented guys on the outside. And I also just think, you know, just having guys like myself starting training these young athletes in middle school. I mean, you know, I know this is a name that the Georgia fans don't like, but I started training Jermaine Burton when he was in the seventh grade. So these guys are being trained so much early, and they're so much advanced and developed. There are so many talented guys out there, and this draft was really loaded with guys. I mean, you just look at Ladd. I mean, I think him going at second pick in the second round, coming from a guy that was the last player in that signing class to sign, that goes to show you what type of kid he is, type of work ethic he has, and what type of development Georgia has done with their receivers. And I don't know if you saw my tweet this week that you got to give Kirby and company a round of applause, that at one point they had, you know, George Pickens, A.D. Mitchell, Jermaine Burton, Ladd McConkey, all those guys in the same room. So as I say, any receivers are the myth that Georgia's can't develop receivers, they can't get receivers drafted. That myth has to be debunked by now.
No, I think that's a great statement, Terrence. I'm really glad that you put that out there, and I think you're absolutely right. It kind of goes against the stereotype of Georgia, but pretty clearly the NFL draft performances and the on-field performance suggest something far different than that. I also wanted to ask you about this. We're going to talk on the show more about this here coming up in a moment. Our colleague Jeff Sintel last night before the Hedges presented by Kroger, talking about a lot of the soon-to-arrive players there at a UGA, and, you know, guys like Nate Frazier coming in at running back, a guy like Jurecek, the tight end, coming in from Stanford. Have you had much chance to pay attention to guys like that? And for whether it be a transfer or an incoming freshman who's going to finish out his high school career, how much of an opportunity do you think there is to sort of step in and learn quickly, and perhaps in some cases maybe even have a chance to contribute there in your first year, sort of an immediate arrival there to the program?
Yes, I'm looking at, you know, how times have changed when majority of your class is already there.
That's
participating
right.
In the Georgia program, and you only have Dwight Phillips, you got Nate Frazier, just true high school kids. I don't know who's else left out there as far as true high school kids that's not there already. So I'm looking at that position right there. And those two guys, to me, bring something that we didn't have last year. It's just the pure speed at that position.
That's
right. We had great running backs in Kendall and Edwards, where they could take it 40 with a burst. But those two guys here could take take it 60 or 80 for a touchdown, along with Travis Etienne, I think that room now has dramatically changed with the speed component. So I'm looking at those two guys, and I'm really to see how, you know, Mike Bobo and company and Coach Crawford use Nate Frazier and Dwight Phillips Jr.
Have you seen much of Phillips? I know he got banged up a little bit towards the end of his senior year, but at the beginning of the year when he was healthy, I can promise you this, Terrence, I talked to coaches about him. They were spending time at practice trying to figure out how they could keep from him getting a kick and taking a kick back, because, I mean, he had literally like world-class track speed. How much of Phillips have you seen?
I've seen a lot. I've watched his junior film, watched part of his senior film, and, you know, right now I don't think he have the legitimate size to play every down back, but he has the speed that you can't keep off the field. So for the kick returner, for the guy that could do your jet sweeps, get on the edge, wheel route, like, he has a skill set to allow him to play. And he has something that I don't think anyone on that Georgia, especially in the Georgia backfield, has, is this straight line speed that he possessed. It could be used as a weapon. So he is a commodity, a weapon that the Georgia Bulldog has to their disposal. I'm just waiting to see. And Nate Frazier is a guy that I like. And one thing I liked about him is he's already been in a situation where he shared the backfield with more talented running backs. So he's coming to a situation that he doesn't have a lot of miles and carries on his body, so he's going to be fresh. And I've watched his track stuff. He has legit straight line speed as well. So that position is definitely flipped from a speed perspective.
Let me squeeze in one more quick, because I know you got stuff you got to take care of. We're going to let you do that. You mentioned Trevor Etienne a moment ago. I saw where ESPN was kind of talking about the impact that he could make at Georgia. And the comparison that comes up is, you know, a dynamic running back like DeAndre Swift. Do you think that Etienne could have a Swift-like year at Georgia here this season?
I do. I think that's a very good comp for Travis Etienne. I think he probably doesn't have that dead leg step as Swift has, but he has the ability to break tackles, make you miss, catch out the backfield. And that's what we missed last year when we lost the running backs for the privacy. We didn't have that running back, McIntosh. We didn't have McIntosh skill set to catch the balls out the backfield. So now we do, and I'm ready to see how Bobo and company use his skills, those receiving skill sets from the backfield position.
Well, Terrence, I know it's a busy day for you. I appreciate you making some time for us. We love your insight here on Georgia Football. Give us a quick reminder of the Terrence Edwards Wide Receiver Academy. And if I know we're kind of moving into that sort of time where people are kind of getting back to their teams here a little bit, but you're also out there, as you said, posting stuff on social media, too, that's fun for Georgia fans to follow. So how can they get up with you there as part of the Terrence Edwards Wide Receiver Academy?
Yes, the bubble work right now is on pause till after spring practice. But if you're looking for this summer work, you can hit me up on all social media platforms at Terrence Edwards Wide Receiver Academy.
Terrence, thanks for your time. Really appreciate it.
Thank you.
All right, good stuff there from Terrence Edwards. Terrence had some stuff going on today, so we want to try to make some space for him there on that. And interesting to hear him saying what he's saying. And the point that he makes about the wide receiver situation is really true. And we've said this before, that it sort of seems like that no matter what the performance is, both in terms of guys going the draft, and listen, if you're Ladd McConkey, you go, boy, is it 35th overall, you know, right the front of the second round, to a team like the Chargers, that's a very successful draft performance. And there are obviously a lot of, you know, guys who played receiver at Georgia who've gone on to have very successful NFL draft performances in the last, you know, couple of years under Kirby Smart, that if you do take that snapshot of, well, here are the guys who are on the same team at the same time together, and you're left to wonder, well, does Georgia have a wide receiver problem if all those guys are on the same team? And, you know, in case of George Pickens, not always healthy, but all here together. And, well, the actual results were about 40 points per game in 2021, about 40 points per game in 2022, about 40 points per game in 2023. Like, what exactly is the problem with wide receiver? Is this, if this is the overall story of what's going on? And I do think that's a very fair way to look at all of that. So, little bit of a different type of schedule for us here today. Kind of talked a little bit off the top about some of what's being said about Georgia players ahead of the 2024 season and what could be a final dress rehearsal before the 2025 NFL draft. Terrence Edwards, a little earlier than normal, I mean to say, now. And we'll kind of transition here to a version of Around the Doghouse. And as I mentioned to Terrence, One of the things I want to do is I want to go back and listen to something that Jeff said last night on his program, his recruiting show, that airs every Wednesday night on the Dog Nation video channels. It's Before the Hedges, presented by Kroger. And what Jeff touched on is something that we talked about last week, that transfer portal is over and done with. There's a little bit of a lid now put on movement, at least from a Georgia standpoint. There's actually still some stuff ongoing around the rest of college football. We're going to talk more about some of that in a moment. But when it comes to the Georgia situation here, you sort of know who's leaving, at least for now, and you sort of know what you have. But that doesn't mean, though, there aren't still some sparks to fly here in terms of guys who aren't here yet that could still make a very significant impact on Georgia for the upcoming season. Jeff also touched on that last night before the Hedges presented by Kroger. Wanted to give you a chance to hear some of that right now because this, I believe, is a really important reminder. Here's Jeff.
May is when Georgia's remaining 2024 signees come by. And those are the ones that couldn't enroll early in January. They couldn't be mid-years. Summer talent is on the way. And I don't want you guys to forget these guys because there's some dudes coming. Nate Frazier, spoke to him recently. He's up to 204. Number two running back in the country. Number 49 overall. That's in this 2024 cycle. You've got Jaden Rashada, the transfer portal pull. And then more big guys. Nasir Johnson, Justin Green, another guy out of Mountain View High School in Lawrenceville, 6'3 and a half, 290. Really impressed me with how he looked at the All-American game out in Texas in San Antonio. You got the flash guy. You got Dwight Phillips Jr. You got Marcus Harrison, a guy I saw at G-Day. Really massive human being, 6'8, 335. You got the transfer Benjamin Urosek, another transfer portal find out of Stanford, 6'4, 242. Wanted to make sure you jog your memory. Oh, yeah, Georgia's got a top 50, number two overall running back coming into the stable there for Josh Crawford. They've got another running back guy, signee, that's going to be a kind of a toy like James Cook was early in his career and even late in his career that can run a 10-2. Big guys, too, the guys for the trenches, the guys that make Georgia different, coming your way as well.
All right, so a couple of things there from Jeff, and it sort of echoes stuff that we've said here before. First of all, in the case of Phillips, I do think, you know, at Pebble Brook, I do think what Terrence Edwards was saying there a moment ago is really important here, is that this could be a really interesting player that Georgia can kind of find a way to really cultivate in terms of the speed that he brings to the table, because it is truly world-class speed. However, the challenge is when you sometimes have that world-class speed, that's not always coupled with, like, you know, prototypical size. And in the case of Phillips, that's probably the case, that you got the speed, you don't have the size. So, you know, how quickly could he make an impact at a place like Georgia? And will he be able to make an impact at a place like Georgia? Those are probably all fair questions. Anytime you have a little bit of an unusual profile, I think that Phillips brings that to the table. But when Georgia brought in Dwight Phillips to that 2024 class, I was absolutely in favor of it because I do think a little bit of a concerted effort to upgrade the speed quotient of the Georgia offense was probably a pretty good thing to do. And Phillips clearly gave you an example of that. I mentioned this to Terrence, that in having talked to coaches a year ago that knew they were going to play Phillips, to give you an idea of the respect that he's garnering, I had coaches telling me they were spending so much more time working on special teams during the preseason they typically would. Now, in high school football, special teams is still a much bigger part of the overall story than sometimes it seems like it is now at the college level and the NFL level. But nonetheless, they were spending even more time working on that because they did not want to get burned by Phillips, who was just such a dangerous player in the kick return game. That gives you a little bit of an idea of what he's bringing to the table. So of all the soon-to-arrive Georgia players, I think that Phillips may be the most interesting, not most likely to make an immediate impact, and far from it. But in terms of if you could ever get really clever in terms of how you find a way to use him, all of a sudden that just sort of gives you the kind of thing that college teams don't always have. He could be really interesting there in that regard. But of all the names, the two that I think are the most likely to make the immediate impact to Georgia are two that we've also mentioned. It's Nate Frazier at running back. It's Ben Urosek there at tight end. The Frazier thing to me is a little bit more of what I kind of view as an obvious clear path. I think because of the transfer of Andrew Paul, the door is open for Frazier to perhaps be the number three running back for Georgia here this fall. And we made the comparison a moment ago, DeAndre Swift and Trevor Etienne. The truth is, perhaps the best Swift comparison might be with Frazier here this year and the role that Swift occupied when he was a freshman here in 2017. You had the veteran Nick Chubb, the veteran Sony Michel. They were the two leading rushers. They were getting the majority of touches, the majority of carries. But Swift had that kind of almost like a sixth man off the bench, if you want to make the basketball comparison. The guy who kind of stepped in and gave you a big offensive spark. That could be what Nate Frazier does here for Georgia this fall. In fact, to a certain extent, because of the injury to Branson Robinson and, you know, because of where I think Frazier probably is in terms of his total package as a running back in comparison to other incoming freshmen, I sort of expect Nate Frazier to do that, and I think a lot of Georgia fans feel the same way. The Ben Yurosek thing is perhaps a little bit more difficult to prognosticate, but still really fascinating. That Yurosek was a guy who, you know, a couple of different times during his career at Stanford sort of played at an all Pac-12 level, which I do realize those of us who are SEC homers were perhaps not blown away by being all Pac-12. That probably doesn't move the needle for us, you know, quite as much necessarily. But this is a guy who has been a real weapon in the passing game for Stanford. And as Georgia kind of thinks about, well, how do you replace the production that Brock Bowers brought to the table? Obviously, no one player is going to be asked to do that, but a multitude of players kind of helping increase, you know, the or sort of fill in the statistical void left behind by Brock. You know, a guy like Yurosek, you know, seems to be brought here for a reason. Georgia probably wants to play a lot of two tight end sets still. We think that Oscar Delp is going to be on the field a lot, and we would imagine that Yurosek is coming here for some of the same kind of stuff. Now, what does that mean for Lawson Lucky, who had a really good catch on G-Day and kind of showed some of the playmaking potential we've been hearing about him for now for a year? And, you know, what does that mean for Jaden Riddell, who also kind of has a lot of buzz as an incoming freshman? I think a lot of that's still yet to be determined. In other words, Yurosek, I think just the context clues would lead you to believe, is probably coming here for a reason. But perhaps defining his role specifically, maybe not quite as easy to do as it might be for Nate Frazier. Either way, I thought Jeff had a good point about this last night. Guys are about to arrive at Georgia, and at least a couple of them could have a chance to make an immediate impact. We'll make that around the doghouse in a slightly different spot normally, but still really fun stuff there. And for now, let's get ready to check on the stuff happening around the rest of the SEC.
Let's take a look around the rest of the league. This is SEC Through.
And as we transition here to cruise around the SEC, courtesy of Royal Caribbean, I do want to make a quick announcement here. I know many of you have been concerned about this, and I'm very happy to tell you this. Now, we're still, listen, we are still thrilled and happy about what we had last week on Allure of the Seas, and that was such a good time, and I can't wait to continue to tell you more about that. In fact, we'll do a golden shoe themed around that coming up here in a little bit. But something I've been really wanting to do and really hoping for my chance to do, y'all, I found out this week I'm going to get to, we've kind of got everything moved around. Coming up in July, I'm going to get the incredible privilege of being among the very first to sail on the brand new Royal Caribbean cruise ship known as Utopia of the Seas. Now, Utopia of the Seas for me is a really special ship because I love the way that Royal Caribbean is kind of putting such an emphasis on the Oasis class ships, in this case, a brand new Oasis class ship for the kind of shorter 3 and 4 night cruises out of Port Canaveral. Port Canaveral, sort of our home port for our family. It's the easiest for us to get to because we just drive, you know, from the Atlanta area, typically speaking. And, you know, for busy schedules, things like that, sometimes the long weekend or the short 4 night stay, as opposed to a, you know, a full 7 night cruise, sometimes that's just a little bit more convenient. And perhaps when you have, you know, busy enough schedules, it's the only option you have available to you. So Royal Caribbean says for those who kind of see themselves as either first time cruisers who, you know, kind of want to just sort of try it for the first time, or for those who have busy schedules and maybe the shorter cruise is the only thing they can do for right now, then let's have a great cruise experience for those short-time cruises on a brand new Oasis-class ship. So I've seen all of the stuff that Utopia of the Seas is going to bring to the high seas here, and I cannot wait to come back and tell you all about it. So I am thrilled about this. Getting a chance to go take a little bit of a visit on one of the maiden voyages for Utopia of the Seas. I am so excited about this. And It's not too soon for you to start planning your own travel with Utopia of the Seas there as well. And of course, Jessica Slater is the one to help you out with all of that. You can give her a call, 770-718-9147. That's 770-718-9147. You can also email her, jslater@dreamvacations.com. You want to find out about the best of Royal Caribbean right now? Jessica can help you out with that. Once again, give her a call, 770-718-9147, or email her, jslater@dreamvacations.com. Okay, so as we go cruise around the SEC, courtesy of Royal Caribbean here right now, I want to remind you of this, that the transfer portal did close on April 30th. However, that was only for players to put their name into the portal. In other words, all you have to do by April 30th is announce your intent to transfer. You don't have to announce your transfer destination. So while at Georgia, we can say, okay, this is for the most part what this roster is going to likely look like here this season. In other cases, we will still see impact transfers that are going to have sort of a determining factor of, you know, kind of what those teams look like this fall. For instance, like Peyton Woodyard, the guy we once talked about, defense back was Alabama, looks like he's going to Oregon. But there are other transfers that are sort of out there right now that, depending on where they go, it could make a difference. I'm going to give you a couple of the names here. You know, Kermani McClain left Colorado. You know, one of the few elite recruits that Deion has signed out of high school was McClain, and now he's leaving. By the way, Colorado has been an absolute mess the last couple of days. We don't get too much on the, you know, social media back and forth there on them on that, because it seems like we'd be talking about it every day if we did. But boy, the Buffs have been a mess here lately with Deion and Shador, and just the whole thing on social media has been really, really weird. But the point is, McClain leaving, going somewhere else, that's a talented player who could make an impact depending on where he ends up going. You also got an offensive line at USC that looks like, you know, he could be, you know, kind of a factor here. The other thing to kind of keep in mind here is there are a couple of big defensive linemen that are still out there as well. There's Derek Harmon out of Michigan State. We've talked before about Dominic Williams out of TCU. I know that Miami is a potential landing spot, at least I think in the case of, you know, Harmon maybe. But watch where these defensive linemen go. You know, LSU has talked about wanting to add more defensive linemen here. So the point is the portal is closed in terms of players going in, but it is not closed in terms of players announcing where they're going. And so DeMarcus Bowman's in the portal there. So watch where some of these players land, because that could still have an impact on the upcoming season. I also wanted to mention this. You know, CBS, we talked earlier about what they said about Georgia and the talent for 2025. In that list of the teams loaded for the 2025 NFL draft, I did also think it was interesting how many other SEC teams got mentioned in this too. Texas, we know, you know, Texas is sort of mentioned right there alongside Georgia in terms of win total, you know, likelihood of making the college football playoff, you know, possible contention for a national championship stuff. Texas is, of course, there. There are, however, a couple of other SEC teams that are not getting the same level of attention. It's probably kind of worth your time here a little bit. For instance, LSU. What we've been saying about LSU as of late is that not only is LSU set up pretty well from a talent standpoint, we like Garrett Nussmeier at quarterback. We think they're probably ready to be a little better on defense than they have been. I think they feel okay about their defensive backs. Obviously, Harold Perkins has the potential of being a star. They've made major upgrades on their coaching staff. They kind of have a little bit more of a favorable schedule than you perhaps realize there as well. LSU may be, on the basis of some of these conversations about 2025 NFL draft, for instance, they may be one of the teams that's not quite being discussed enough here. Another SEC team for whom that might also be true is Texas A&M. Now, if you're a longtime viewer or listener to this program, you know this is kind of a running joke between me and some of the folks in the audience, because, you know, there have been various times which I sort of hyped up Jimbo Fisher. The belief I had when Fisher was coach was, as a national championship coach, something there weren't very many active coaches at the time. There's still not. But, you know, it's one of those things where only a small number of coaches end up winning national championships, Fisher being one. I was of the belief, well, if Texas A&M is going to spend big and bring a guy like this in, it's likely to pay, you know, pretty significant dividends. Well, of course, it never did. And so when it comes to talking about Texas A&M, just to be totally honest with you, I feel like there's a little bit of a loss of credibility on my part, because I've said things about A&M in the past that turned out not to be true. So this is not me saying this, but it is interesting to see A&M kind of show up on this list that CBS writes of teams that are incredibly deep for the upcoming season and perhaps for the 2025 NFL draft. And the point here is, is that a lot of what A&M brought in 2022 in that big signing class, it's gone. It just, you know, came in, it came out, it's moved on. But it's not all gone. And you got Connor Wegman at quarterback. People seem to like him. I think Mike Elko is a better coach than A&M could have hired, better than Mark Stoops would have been, for instance. Their win total is actually a little higher than you realize. That's 8.5. So it's not a huge stretch to say, well, this is a team that might go 9-3. And if you're on your way to 9-3, you were also kind of right there at the cusp on the bubble of what could be a playoff conversation there too. So, you know, it's not me saying this because I've been wrong about A&M in the past, but you know, keeping your eye on Texas A&M, maybe perhaps alongside LSU, is one of the under-discussed teams in the SEC. That is perhaps a thing that, you know, should at least be considered. One more team I'll mention here is Ole Miss, who obviously, you know, you bring in, you know, Walter Nolan, you obviously got Jackson Dart, you know, you brought in Prince Uliuman, the pass rusher from Florida. You have brought in a lot of talented guys to the transfer portal. And a year ago, and even though I'm not the biggest fan of Lane Kiffin as a coach, it's undeniable that Kiffin and Ole Miss looked a lot more like a real football team last season they had before, not against Georgia, but against almost everybody else they did. And now with the kind of transfer talent they've brought in, there's a thought they could take that next step. And so not a surprise to see them mention among the most talented teams for the 2025 NFL draft. I'll squeeze into squeeze one more into this. I saw where like the Texas A&M baseball coach, I think it's Schlossnagel's his name. Is it Jim Schlossnagel? Is that the A&M baseball coach? So he was on the Texags, which is a big site that covers Texas A&M. There was the thing the other day with the Georgia pitcher. to be honest with you, yeah, we got the video here. I feel like such a snitch for showing this video. My wife saw this, and she thought the guy was praying at first, which is just perfect. Come to find out, maybe he's doing something other than praying. We don't quite know. I think the investigation is ongoing here. This is one of those deals where honesty compels me to admit does not look good for the Georgia pitcher in question in terms of what might have been happening. If you're watching a video, you obviously see this. If you're listening radio and podcast, the Georgia pitcher kind of goes to the corner of the bullpen here and appears to be doing something that some A&M fans are saying was doctoring the baseball. Schlossnagel was talking about that this week, saying they wish they'd have spotted it during the game. He also made it known that another SEC team has been caught with like a Spygate form of cheating. This is not Georgia. I think people are saying it could be Vanderbilt maybe. There's another SEC team that perhaps the A&M coach was referencing here that was using like video stuff to get better access to like you know, pitching signs, things like that. He said they're hitting over 300 at home and like 200 on the road. You start doing the statistical comparison on that. There's only a couple of teams for whom that could be. I thought it was pretty interesting that overall, you know, A&M fans were like very, very bothered about what this video, you know, at least, you know, perhaps shows. We're not confirming anything. But I didn't really feel like the A&M baseball coach was quite as bothered by some of that, which perhaps tells you that, I don't know, maybe there's more of that going on in the SEC than just this one video would lead you to believe. So who knows what the truth is? Obviously, we're going to say very generously here, innocent until proven guilty. We'll see what kind of response Georgia gives on that. But this story's been out there for a couple of days of what looks to be, honestly, not the greatest video in terms of what a Georgia relief pitcher may have stepped up and did. So anyway, we get new details on this. We'll give you more information about that. We'll make that cruising around the SEC, courtesy of Royal Caribbean. Now, on a much better note, in stories involving UGA athletics, not football, how about the fact that Georgia this week has brought in R.J. Godfrey? Godfrey was at North Gwinnett, a very good player there for obviously a terrific athletic program overall in Swanee, and was at Clemson and made a big impact in the NCAA tournament here. And look, I'm not here to tell you that, you know, this is going to put Georgia over the top or turn Georgia into, you know, whatever. But it is a different conversation than the one we've been having, right? And I think when you look at what the Mike White era has been, I think that what people have really wanted is some reason to believe that things could be different. We see all the success that other SEC programs have had, and to be honest with you, it looks like a lot of fun. It looks like a lot of these SEC programs are having themselves a lot of fun. And I think a lot of Georgia fans, rightly so, are saying, boy, it'd be great to be able to do some of that ourselves here. And obviously it takes the kind of talent acquisitions to be able to do that. You got Asa Newell, a five-star coming in. Newell's been on social media this week kind of hyping up some of the things that Georgia's doing. But a guy like Godfrey, even if he's not super famous to those outside of Gwinnett County, is the sort of player that a lot of folks did see making big plays for Clemson during the postseason and giving Georgia a chance to look more like a, just to be honest, a real basketball team here next year. So, you know, we're obviously kind of a football-centric show because that's what our audience wants us to be. But when Georgia adds significant talents, they added the big man that had been in Kentucky before last week. That's, I would say, a pretty significant add there as well. That there is a little bit of space in our lives here to celebrate talent acquisitions for Georgia basketball if this program can provide them. And, you know, this week, over the course of the last week, that is what they have done. So we're very, very happy about that. Wanted to give a shout-out to Mike White and company for doing that. And with that, I want to get ready to a transition here to a golden shoe here for today. So we told you a little earlier that in our space here to close out the show, and we'll probably do this again tomorrow there as well, some really fun things have come out of our Dog Nation cruise. And if I had like one wish for any of you, it would be that we would all be able to just be on Dog Nation cruise together. We'll just sort of charter a whole fleet of ships, we'll put our entire audience on, you know, just a big flotilla of ships, and we'll just sail the Caribbean together. If I could have you all on board, I obviously would. But for those who are, you know, lucky enough to have been with us, we just have so much fun, and so many very, you know, creative and clever Georgia fans are a part of that. We showed you yesterday the amazing picture that Dave Helwig, the artist, you know, did of the Dog Nation team and those who've been on our, you know, cruise all three of the times we've done the Dog Nation cruise. One of the guys that kind of helped commission that piece was a guy named William Perry. And William's also a frequent listener to our radio partner in Athens, 960 The Rap. So he called their kind of like voice line and wanted them to hear a Dog Nation cruise-centric of what it would sound like if you kind of combined a Royal Caribbean cruise with kind of calling the dogs the way that Georgia fans do. I think this is pretty funny. So I wanted to give a golden shoe out to William and our friends at 960 The Ref who shared this with me here today. Very, very clever twist on something you've heard Georgia fans do for quite some time. Take a listen to this as a part of our golden shoe here today.
The ones that have...
Dave and Logan, this is from you from the Dog Nation cruise. What's that sailing on the ocean?
What's that sailing on the ocean?
A mean machine causing much commotion.
A mean machine causing much commotion.
Ain't nothing finer in the land.
Ain't nothing finer in the land.
Than a big boat of Georgia fans.
So I think that's really funny. I appreciate our friends at 960 The Ref sharing that. William and everybody else who made this Dog Nation cruise so much fun and a pretty clever twist there on calling the dogs. You certainly love to hear that. With that, we'll wrap up today's show. Yeah, so Georgia fans on these cruises are just so much fun. And I kind of joked about this yesterday. Our friend Robin from Royal Caribbean, who's had some family stuff going on, was not able to be with us. Typically, she's the chaperone that makes sure there's not quite too much calling of the dogs there. not too much of that going on. Robin was not able to be with us here this time. But so many great Georgia fans were, and it was such a terrific, terrific experience and a great way to spend some springtime together with each other. I also told you this off the top of the show there as well. That I want you to be with us tomorrow. We'll have Jeff Sintel on. We'll do some recruiting talk with Jeff. That's going to be a good time. And I'm going to kind of continue the conversation we sort of had here today off the top of the show. You know, the notion that the depth of talent that Georgia has, how spread out that it is, maybe it does give Georgia a leg up potentially on a team like Ohio State that's going to get a lot of buzz here. We're going to talk more about that tomorrow. I think you'll enjoy that. Something I know you enjoy. Lousy stinking Gators and our Gator hater update are now been 1,272 days since Georgia has lost to the miserable, wretched stench that is the Florida Gators. And so we're going to keep watching that number go up and up and up. We'll see you back here tomorrow. Dog Nation Daily, presented by Merriweather and Tharp.